Okay, so pinag-aaralan natin ang taksa natin, no? The New Testament Church, and we're learning about what is the New Testament Church? What is church? And what are some of the mistaken ideas and concepts about church? What are some of the mistaken ideas and concepts about church? Now, pag sinabi nating church, ang daming pumapasok sa isip ng tao, iba't iba ang kanilang idea kung ano ang church. And so, kailangan iklaro natin, no? Kung ano ang church. And last week, binasa natin yung Matthew. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 16. Again, Matthew chapter number 16. And verse number 18. Matthew chapter 16. And verse number 18. Eto, sa buong Biblia, ang kauna-unahang pagbanggit ng wika o ng salitang church. This is the first time in the entire New Testament, in the entire Bible, Matthew chapter 16 verse 18 is the first time the word church is mentioned. And the word church will be mentioned about 115 times. The word ekklesia, na kung saan nanggaling yung salitang church sa Greek, no? 115 times in the Greek New Testament na pinanggalingan ng English natin. Now, kung hindi King James ang ginagamit mo, 114 times sa critical text yung wika ng ekklesia. In a critical text, the word ecclesia, where we get the word church, shows up only 114 times. And so they're missing one reference. And that one reference is significant. So let me repeat. This is a reason, another reason why we hold to the King James Bible. The new translations are off, okay? Even if they're off in one, they're missing one reference to the word ecclesia, and we'll look at where are they missing it. You want to look at it now, or do you want to look at it later? You want to look at it now? Okay. Acts chapter 2. Tingnan mo ang Acts chapter 2. Go over to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. This here affects the doctrine of church. Okay, so sabi ng mga tao, okay naman yung mga modern translations kasi hindi naman naaapektuhan ng doctrine. That's a lie, okay? Naaapektuhan po ang doctrine. For example, doctrine of the church. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Now the Bible says, the right Bible, okay? The only good Bible available today in the English. Acts chapter 2 verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay, so magmula sa Pentecost, nangaral si Peter, ang daming naligtas, ang daming nabaptize, ang daming sumali sa church. At dinadagdagan ng Panginoon araw-araw ang mga tumatanggap sa ebanghelyo, nagbabaptize sila, at nasasari sila sa iglesia. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Now, if you have a new translation, kung meron kang bagong salin, based off the critical text, tanggal ho ang word church. They remove the word church, and it would read something like this. The Lord added to them daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to them. Okay, yes, of course the Lord added to them, but who is the them? Who were they added to? What group, what organization? What, is there something that they were added to? Or they were just added to a company? Or what group, what congregation? What are we talking about? Yes, the context is the church, but the word church, it should belong there, okay? So if you're using the King James Bible, nandyan yung word. if you're using a modern translation, it doesn't have the word church. And again, Jesus said, if you add or take away from the word of God, he will add and take away, he will add curses to you. And if you remove the word, he's going to remove you out of the book of life. And so, warning. Okay, this is a warning. Don't use the critical text. Do not use the critical translations, the modern translations that are based upon the critical text. And even modern translations that say that they're based on the received text, they're still edited by people who don't hold to the received text. Okay, so again, that's it. So the word church, ecclesia, shows up 115 times in the right received text, okay? But in the critical text, it only shows up 114 times. This is the text that's missing. And so that's a significant thing. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when people say, what is church? Or when you ask that question, what is church? You're going to get a whole lot of different kinds of answers. At tinignan natin yung ibang mga sagot ng tao, no? Kung ano ang church. Sabi ng iba, ito raw ay building, no? Yung malaking building doon, yun ang church, okay? Mali hong isip noon. The church is not a building. If the church decides to meet out in the hill, that's where the church is, you see. If the church decides to meet in a house, okay? That's where the church is. If the church decides to meet in a big castle, that's the meeting place, okay? So iba ang meeting place, iba ang church, okay? Yung meeting place, hindi kasing importante yon. Mas importante ang pagpupulong ng mga disipulo na naibaptize at nadagdag sa simbahan. The most important part of church is not the exterior building, okay? The most important part of church is the assembling, the getting together, the gathering together of baptized disciples, believers, who are organized, voluntarily coming together, organized by the Lord Jesus Christ to carry out the work of the Lord, to carry out the commandments of the Lord, and to observe the ordinances of the Lord and be a testimony and all that and so on and so forth. Now, so when we say church, it's not just the building, okay? Actually, it's not the building, okay? That's just the meeting place. Yung iba naman, sabi nila, kaharian ng Diyos, yon ang church, okay? Pag ganyan ang isip, usually Protestante at saka Catholics yung ang isip nila. Pag sinabi, saan nagsimula ang church? Sa isip nila, nagsimula yan kay Adan. O di kaya nagsimula kay Abraham. Yung church, ha? Tapos ngayon, sa New Testament, ang church ay palago ng palago. At basta ikaw ay ligtas, dadagdagan ka ng Panginoon sa church kaagad, automatic. No? So ang isip nila, yung kaharian ng Diyos, yan ang iglesia. Mali ho yun. Okay? Again, that's a mistake to equate the church, the New Testament church, with the kingdom of God. Okay? So if you believe the church is the kingdom of God, then you have to ask the question, when did the church start? And that's why you have Protestants and Catholics teaching that the church began with Adam. Or the church began with Abraham. And from that body, everybody who's getting saved is being added to the church spiritually. Okay? That is not biblical. That is not a New Testament teaching about the New Testament church. That is a group of the family of God. You can say that. But that's not the local New Testament church. There's more to the New Testament church than just salvation. And that's why we're not salvationists. Salvation is one third of the plan of God for the Christian. It's only one third. Let me say it again. Ang kaligtasan po ay one third ng plano ng Diyos para sa tao. God doesn't just want, yes, God wants people saved, but He doesn't just want them saved and floating around and not doing anything in disobedience. Okay? God doesn't want illegitimate children. He wants His children to be disciplined. He wants His children to be incorporated into the local New Testament church so that they can serve the Lord and they can use their gifts for the edification of that church, the body of Christ. Okay? So again, a lot of people think the body of Christ is the universal, spiritual, invisible, mystical body that you are added to by the Holy Spirit when you're saved. Okay, that's not the New Testament church. That's the family of God. You could say that. And when you're born again into the kingdom of God. You can say that. But just because you're born again doesn't mean you're part of the New Testament church. There's more. Again, it's one third. So ano yung, kung yung salvation ay one third, ano yung dalawa pa? Oh, baptism, water baptism, not spirit baptism. And sometime, I don't know if I'll have time to teach about spirit baptism, but that's an invention. They made that up, okay? They mistakenly read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. They made it, they didn't understand the teaching of that verse. Schofield popularized the idea that when a person is saved, their spirit baptized into the mystical body of Christ. That's not biblical. So, first God wants you saved, then He wants you baptized, then He wants you added to the church, you see. That's the complete will of God for the Christian. He wants everybody, every human being saved. That's the will of God for everyone. Come to Jesus and get saved. And then after you're saved, He wants you to become a New Testament biblicist, a New Testament biblical Christian added to the church by water baptism and profession of faith, water baptism, and membership, church membership. Okay? So, it's easier to go to heaven than be a part of the church, okay? If the truth is told, it's easier to get saved and go to heaven than it is to get saved and be a part of the church. Church is more involved, but it's very rewarding, and it's actually the only thing that God's going to bless in this dispensation today, because this is God's plan for the New Testament believers today, is to be added to the church. So some people say, we looked at the social club, we looked at the political association, we looked at optional, the church is optional. No, it's not optional. This is a worship, this is service, and God demands worship. He commands us to assemble and have church, okay? Now this period of time, because of the COVID, we're restricted and all that, but I'm telling you right now, the will of God is that we are assembled together as baptized disciples, carrying out the ordinances and the commandments of Jesus Christ. And so I believe, looking at things, I do believe this COVID is an attack upon the local churches and an attack to dismantle, to disrupt the worship of God and the carrying out of the ordinances. I mean, if you think about it, you know, ano ang kaisa-isang organisasyon sa mundong ito na nakabase sa pagpupulong? Okay? Na nagbibigay lugod sa Diyos, na nagbibigay tulong sa kapwa members na nagmamahal sa kaluluwa ng tao, anong organisasyon sa buong mundo ang ganon? At ngayon, sabi nila, bawal ang pagpupulong. Okay? Unbiblical. Antichristo. It's an antichrist thing to say you cannot assemble. And, no, well, we will assemble sometime soon. And, well, whatever. It is not optional. Sabi ng iba, yung church punong-puno ng hypocrites. Okay? Ayaw namin sa church kasi ang puno ng hypocrites ang church. Okay? Well, I see why people don't want to be in church because there's, you know, some churches are full of hypocrites. Okay? Now, let me just say that we don't want to be hypocrites. Ayaw naman natin ang mga hypocrites sa church natin, no? And the solution para mabawasan ng hypocrites yung church ay mangaral ng husto at mangaral ng mainit ang pastor. The key to reducing hypocrisy in the church is a hot pulpit and strong preaching of the Word of God. That'll drive the hypocrite away because hypocrites will not endure sound doctrine. So if the preacher is preaching with all long-suffering and doctrine, he's reproving, rebuking, exhorting, and he's declaring clearly the Word of God, and he has nothing but the Word of God, oh, the chances that hypocrites stick around in the church won't last long. Why? Because they're always looking for something else besides the Word of God, you see. And so the key to avoiding the hypocrites in the church is to find a man of God who will preach the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you see. And that drives away the hypocrites. Now, may mga hypocrites po sa Pure Gold, pero pumunta ka pa rin sa Pure Gold para bumili, ano? May mga hypocrites sa ospital, pero pupunta ka doon pag kailangan, no? Meron din mga hypocrites sa barbero, barbershop, pero pupunta ka doon pag kailangan mo, no? So, kahit saan ka pumunta, punong-puno ho tayo ng mga hypocrites. Kahit ikaw at ako, paminsan, hypocrite din, no? So, kung tutuusin, excuse lang ho yung sinasabi ng tao na hypocrite sa mga church, kaya ako hindi ako nag-church. Kung tutuusin, dapat sabihin, hindi ka ligtas at hindi mo nauunawaan ang importansya ng iglesia o ng simbahan, kaya hindi ka nag-church. Yun, mas maganda yun. Wala nang pakunwari. Kasi ikaw, ayaw mo ng hypocrite, huwag kang maging hypocrite din, no? The point is this, the stores are full of hypocrites, but you go to the supermarket if you have to buy something. If you need a haircut, you go to the barbershop, they're full of hypocrites too. They talk about you. They talk about everybody else in their back, behind their back. But the point I'm making is you can go anywhere and there's hypocrites everywhere. And at times you are a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite at times. And so, you know, that's an excuse. It's an excuse to say, oh, the church is full of hypocrites. But it doesn't stop you from going everywhere else hypocrites are except for church. Okay? So if you don't want to be a hypocrite, here's what you need to say. You need to say, I'm not saved. I don't love the Lord. I don't know the Lord. I don't see the importance of church. And that's why I don't like church. That is genuine. That's real. You should be willing to say that. Instead of acting like a hypocrite yourself, saying, well, that church is full of hypocrites. Oh, you're a hypocrite. Okay? Because the truth is, if you know the Lord as your Savior, and you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be in church. Even if you're going to sit next to a sinner, oh my. Even if you're going to sing and worship alongside a sinner. Okay? You see, that's an excuse of churches full of hypocrites. Okay? Anyway. let's see. Sabi ng iba, church is business. Huh? Kaya ayaw ko mag-church kasi business lang ang church, no? Yung pastor, ang preaching niya, tithes and offerings palagi. Yun ang karaniwang naririnig natin, no, sa mga tao. Now, does the Bible talk about tithing? Does the Bible talk about giving? Does the Bible talk about offerings? Yes. Okay. And if the preacher preaches on finances and tithing and giving, that's something that you should study the Bible. You should see, is he preaching the Word of God? Okay. It's just an excuse. The church is a business, okay? Now, we don't want a business church. We don't want to run the church like a business. And so, we're not a business, okay? Hindi ho tayo business, ha? Tayo po ay church. And ang interest po natin, kaluluwa ng tao. Ang interest natin, yung ebanghelyo ng Panginoon. Ang interest natin, yung pagbabautismo ng mga pagdidisipulo ng tao. Pagbabautismo ng mga disipulo ng Panginoon, ang interest natin na lumago yung mga disipulo sa kanilang pananampalataya at maglingkod sa Diyos. At interesado tayo na magtanim ng iba pang mga simbahan at iglesia sa Taguig na pwedeng gamitin ng Panginoon para sa kanyang kaluwalhatian at para sa kaluluwa ng tao. At iulitin uli ang mga ito. So, we're not a business. But what we are interested in as a church, we're interested in souls to be saved. We're interested in evangelism, in letting people know the good news of Jesus Christ. We're interested in every creature being preached to and proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, every creature. We're interested in making disciples. We're interested in baptizing those disciples that have received, gladly received the word. They were baptized. We're interested in doing that. We're interested in adding them to the church. We're interested in continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayers and breaking of bread and in prayers. We're interested in the program of God for this dispensation, the New Testament church. And then we're interested in planting other churches in Taguig that God could bless and use to reach souls, to disciple those souls, to baptize, and to teach them all things, and go on, so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. But we're not a business. We are God's business, okay? These are eternal matters, okay? The preaching of the Word of God, the prayers, the fellowship, the communion, ordinances, baptism. Everything we do is sacred and important. Everything we do, Sunday school ministry, okay? Prison ministry, tract distribution ministry, evangelism, door to door, soul winning, knocking on doors, inviting people to church, telling them the good news, preaching the gospel to every creature. Lord willing, we can do more. Live streaming, writing blogs, articles, podcasting, all that. I'm for all that, okay? But we are not a business. We are God's business, if you could say it like that. That's what we are. We are not interested in secular professionals. Hindi ho professional ang pastor. The pastor is not a professional. He doesn't have executive secretaries. You know, that's stupid. The pastor could have a helper, a ministry helper. Yes, but there's no, you know, business. You know, this is the administrative pastor. This is the teaching pastor. This is the music, you know, pastor. No. That's convoluted, okay? In the New Testament church, there's the pastor. Then there's pastors under him, if the Lord blesses the church, depending on the size. Most churches only have one pastor. Some churches have multiple pastors. You will still have one presiding pastor. And then you have deacons. Then you have church members. And all of them are disciples of the Lord. All of them are saved and baptized and added to the church. All of them are continuing steadfastly. None of them have a special authority superpowers, executing powers, except the pastoral authority according to the Word of God and given by the Word of God and approved by the New Testament church. Okay, so anyway, we're not a business. The pastor is not a professional. He is the, ganito ang pastor, hindi siya professional. Ang pastor ay ang hinirang ng Diyos na maging tagapagturo at tagapangaral sa isang iglesia. At ang kanyang supervision ay doon sa iglesia na yan. Nagsasarili po ang mga iglesia. Kaya mga iglesia, multiple churches. Wala hong pastor sa Bible, sa New Testament, walang pastor na namumuno sa iba't ibang mga churches. No, you don't see that in the Bible. There's not a bishop who is in charge of an entire set of churches. Okay? That's not biblical. In the Bible, sa Bible, you only have one pastor pastoring one church. And he is the ordained preacher and teacher and leader in that assembly. He is the messenger. He is the star in Revelation chapter number 1 and 2 and 3. He is the angel of the Lord that declares the message of God. He is the one that you have to remember. The Bible says, remember them that have the rule over you. So that's the pastor. He is the one who has the rule over an assembly. But he doesn't have the rule over multiple assemblies. Okay? No, each church runs on its own. Each church is autonomously managed on its own. They're self-sufficient, self-governing. They're self-independent, okay? And so whenever you see a hierarchy of leaders, okay, this church and this church will select somebody to manage them, and then this guy is in charge of an entire region of churches, that's not Bible, okay? That may be Catholic, that may be Protestant, but that's not Baptist, that is not Bible, it's not biblical. Okay, so, but the pastor is not a professional. He is a man called of God. He is a man ordained of God and received and recognized by the New Testament church. Okay, so one day, Mount Zion Baptist Mission will not be Mount Zion Baptist Mission. One day, we're going to find the man of God who will pastor the church in Tuktukan. You see, and, I don't think it'll be me, okay, all right, but who knows? We don't know the Lord's, we don't know the future, we only know the Bible, and I'll be involved in training that man. I'll be involved in teaching that man, and then when our church organizes and elects him to the pastorate, he will be the pastor, okay? I am not the pastor. I am a missionary, okay? And so that pastor will then pastor that church, okay? And then we will plant other churches in the other areas, and we'll reach into other areas and do that again and plant, ordain a pastor for that church. But, you know, people call me Pastor Bill. Now, I'm acting pastor. I'm fulfilling the role of a pastor, fine, but I am not a pastor. Newsflash, woo. This is New Testament, Bible, biblical, independent church as we see in the Bible. And so I don't mind people saying Pastor Bill. I prefer people say Brother Bill. I prefer people say Brother Bill. That's my preference. But if you say Pastor Bill, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to make a big deal of that. Ang role ko ay pastoral, pero hindi ako pastor. And you should be careful. You should be careful calling people pastor, you know. Just because somebody went to seminary or Bible college doesn't mean they're the pastor. You shouldn't call somebody pastor if they're not holding authority supervising a New Testament church, you see, a college graduate, yung mga nag-graduate sa Bible College, porque graduate yan ng Bible College, hindi ho ibig sabihin automatically pastor yun. May mga qualifications ang Bible patungkol sa pastor. And the Bible tells us what are the qualifications of a pastor, and if he doesn't match the Bible, he's not the pastor, and you shouldn't be calling him pastor. Oh, pastor so-and-so. Okay? Tanong, where's the church that you're in charge of? It's invisible. It's mystical. It's universal. Yan, kasi yung doctrine of church ninyo, hindi nyo alam sa Bible. Kaya kung sino-sino na lang ang pumapasok sa pintuan, tawagin nyo pastor. Hindi ho biblical yun. And I'm telling you now, you should become biblical, okay? Call him brother if he's saved. If he's not saved, then say, hey, Mr. So-and-so, you know, or whatever, Miss So-and-so. Another thing is ladies cannot pastor. Okay? Yun, isa pa yun. Yung iba, sabi nila, pastor, itong babae, no? Gusto kong maging pastor. You cannot be a pastor if you're a lady, if you're a woman. It's not biblical. Oh, pastor naman, saan yan sa Bible? Go over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Now, I'm taking time to teach about the New Testament church. And because if you don't know the Bible, somebody could come in the door and you would look at him and say, he's the past pastor, so-and-so, you know. And he doesn't have a congregation he's holding. He has no assembling of baptized disciples. He's not sent from a church. He has lack of training. And if he did get training, it's from a non-biblical mindset. Maybe he got a seminary degree from an institution that believes in a universal, mystical, invisible, spiritual, religious body that they call the body of Christ out there. You know, ooh. But it's not biblical. Now, the ladies, look at Matthew. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop. Okay? Man desire the office of a bishop. Ibig sabihin ho, lalaki. Okay? Man, male, lalaki. Ang pwedeng maging bishop, elder, pastor, overseer, presbyteros, poimen, okay? Shepherd, manager, overseer ng flock of God or congregation of God. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Ito ang qualifications, verse number 2. A bishop then must be blameless. Hindi sinless, ha? Blameless. Ibig sabihin, hindi skandalo. Wala kang pwedeng sabihin na involved siya sa estafa, involved siya sa pambababae, involved siya sa kabaklaan, ganun. Walang skandalo, okay? Blameless siya. Hindi siya sinless, ha? Kasi walang sinless na tao sa mundong ito. Kaya hindi tayo naniniwala sa Santo Papa. Wala hong Papa sa Biblia. Lahat ng tao makasalanan. Pati nangangaral sa inyo, makasalanang tao yun. Pero hindi siya blame worthy. Ibig sabihin, wala siyang kaso na kriminal. Walang warrant sa kanyang arrest. Yun. Pastor yung ganon. Hindi siya involved sa drugs, illegal gambling, witchcraft, pangkukulam. Ano ba yan? Huwag kayong maghanap ng pastor na kwak-kwak. A bishop must then be blameless. The husband of one wife. Oh, yun. He has to be the husband of one wife. One wife, ibig sabihin, hindi siya divorce and remarriage. Disqualified ho yan sa pagpapastor. kasi hindi na siya husband of one wife. Ang turo ng Biblia, he is the husband of one wife for life. Now, kung bawian ng buhay yung asawa niya, tapos maghanap siya ng iba pang asawa, okay yon, biblical yon, pwede yon. Pero yung dinivorce niya itong babae, tapos nakipagsama siya sa isang babae uli, tapos nagkaroon siya ng pamilya doon, ngayon tatakbo na siya as pastor, hindi ho pwede yon. Hindi siya blameless, at hindi siya husband of one wife. Baka husband siya of multiple wives. Hindi pwede yon. Eh, pastor, paano kung hindi siya kasal? Hindi siya married? Di, hindi siya husband. Hindi siya pwedeng maging pastor. You cannot have a pastor who's not married to a wife. Okay? You can have a young man in training to be a pastor. That's fine. But he's not the pastor, you see. The pastor has to be the husband of one wife. That's a requirement from Scripture. And go on, no? Marami pa. So anyway, we won't go there. We won't read through everything. But I just want you to know, the church is not a business and the pastor is not professional. We're not professionals. We don't do things like the world, you know, sa mundo. Nako, yung mundo. If you notice, I notice it, you know, when a church has a website, they make it look like you're visiting a dental office. You know, our church is friendly. Come to our church. Oh, we'll sit you down. We have this. We have a nursery for you. We'll make it as pain-free as possible for you to come to church because we're a dental church. We're going to drill you good, but we'll have anesthesia for you. We're a nice church. You know, that's what I think a lot of churches look, when you look at their website, it's like you're visiting a dental office and trying to make you comfortable as possible. Now, I'm for friendliness and hospitality. I'm just joking for the most part. But a church is not a business. This is God's business. We want to be disciples who forsake all to follow Christ. That's the measure of a disciple. He is willing to forsake everything to follow Jesus Christ. Now, every time our discipleship is tested, this COVID restriction of assembling, that is a test from Almighty God. Are we going to assemble when the restrictions are lifted and we can assemble? Are we going to assemble? Or are you going to sit back and say, well, you know, I may not be healthy enough. Now, if you're not healthy, if the issue is health, please stay home. Especially if you're feverish, stay home. But if you want to worship the Lord and you're physically willing and able to, you should go to church and worship the Lord. And well, we'll cross that bridge, you know. That's why we have to be disciples, willing to forsake all to follow Christ. Now, let's see. The church is not a cult. Hindi ho kulto ang church. Ano yung kulto, pastor? Yung parang sisirain natin ang pamilya ng tao, wawasakin natin ng lahat, dadagdagan natin ang salita ng Diyos. Ganon. No. A cult is a religious movement that adds to the Bible. For example, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that's a cult. Yung Mormon, mga kulto ho yun, cult. Bakit? Kasi hindi lang nila ginagamit yung Bible. Gagamitin nila yung Book of Mormon. So dinadagdagan nila yung salita ng Diyos ng isa na namang libro, the Book of Mormon. So yung authority nila, hindi lang salita ng Diyos. Dadagdagan pa nila ng Book of Mormon. Yung Jehovah Witnesses. Now, hanga ako sa Jehovah Witnesses kasi talagang nagsasaliksik sila ng salita ng Diyos. No? Kaya lang ang problema, dinadagdagan nila ng Watchtower publications. Pati na rin yung sali nila, New World Translation. Base ho yan sa maling Greek text. Yung ginagamit nila, yung mga sinasabi ko dito, na bawas, tanggal, ganyan, yon ginagamit nila yon. Kaya yung New World Translation, hindi biblical ho yun. Ibang klaseng Bible ho yun. Maraming pagka pinalitan nila. Kasi, imbis na sampalataya na nila ang sinabi ng Bible, gusto nila yung turo nila, pinalitan nila yung Bible. Kaya ngayon, meron silang sarili nilang Bible na ginagamit nila. New World Translation. Now, yung history ng New World Translation, nakakalungkot. Pero wala akong oras na isalaysay yung history ng translation nila. Bukod doon, ginagamit nila yung Watchtower tracts and pamphlets nila. No? Hindi mo pwedeng basahin ng Bible sa sarili mo. Kailangan gabayan ka ng Watchtower. Kaya hindi ko sila tinatawag Jehovah Witnesses. Tinatawag ko silang saksi ni Watchtower. Yun. They are Watchtower Witnesses, not Jehovah Witnesses. Because they have to study the Bible with their notes. You can't just read the Bible on your own. You have to use their notes. And now, I believe in study notes. Ako, gumagamit ako ng study notes, pero alam ko, ang authority ay yung salita ng Diyos, hindi yung Bible study notes. Okay? And so, ang kulto, spiritual cult, religious cult, dinadagdagan nila ang Bible. Yung Catholic Church, are they a cult? Well, do they only use the Bible? No. They use tradition. They use the canon of the canon of law. They use the catechisms of the Catholic Church. They use the magisterium office, the teaching office. They use the ex cathedra statements of the bishop, the cathedral. They use the infallibility of the Pope as he declares his papal bull, which is, that's what they call it. They call it a papal bull, Sounds different. So the point I'm making is they add to the Word of God their traditions. So yung mga tradisyon nila, inaangat nila sa salita ng Diyos. Hindi lang sila biblical, biblicist, nananatili sa Bible, dinadagdagan po nila ng iba't ibang mga tradisyon and historical books. Kumbaga, pantay ang salita ng Diyos sa tradisyon nila at pantay ito sa kasaysayan ng kanilang pagpupulong. Now, ito po ay hindi pantay, ito ay mas mataas pa kesa sa mga tradisyon. So let's get that right. The Bible is not on equal terms with tradition. It is superior to tradition. It's superior to man's opinion. It's superior to the Pope. It's superior to the bishop. The Word of God is final authority. That's the final authority, the Word of God. That's why you have to make sure you have a King James Bible. Because if this is your final authority, you have all the words that God preserved. You have the words of God. Okay? But if you have a modern translation, you have the words of the editor, of the editors. You have the words currently for this year. Next year it'll change. And subsequent years will change. You don't have a final authority. You have nothing. That's why. So, is our church a cult? No. We stick by the Bible. Everything we do is biblical. When I preach from the Word of God. And you can read the Word of God. You can understand it. It's written so it doesn't get altered and changed. It's written for your record. It's there. You just study the Word of God and apply the Word of God. Now, some people say, well, that church is spiritually abusive. Okay? Oh, this is a spiritually abusing atmosphere. Well, the Bible tells the pastor to rebuke and reprove with all long-suffering and doctrine. Exhort, reprove, and rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. There are times when the pastor has to preach and rebuke. There are times. When you read the New Testament, Paul even called out names. He called out names. He named names of those who would teach wrong and those who would preach wrong and those who would sow discord among the brethren. He called them by name. And so I don't want to call anybody by name in our church yet, but I will. I will not hesitate. Why? Because you need to be warned. You need to know. Okay? Who is that guy? When Raymond came to our church, he solicited money, he asked for money, and he borrowed money, and he didn't return money, and he left, and he's got two warrants against him. Oh, you see, I need to name him. Why? So that when he comes to you and says, hey, can you loan me thousands of pesos? You know, wait a minute, you have two warrants against you. You're running against, you're running from the law, okay? And Paul named names. And a pastor who is biblical, if he sees a wolf come to the fellowship, he will name names. Okay? Biblical ho yun. Where did Paul name names? Well, read Timothy. Read Philippians. He named names. Philippians chapter 4, for example. He named two ladies who couldn't get along in the church. They were sowing discord among the brethren. And Paul had, in a prison cell, hundreds of miles away from the situation, he had to address them. And their names are written for all eternity in the record of Philippians. Let's look at it. See, you think, baka akala mo, iniinvento ko lang ito. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number 2, Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Oh.
Siguro kung may tulog habang binabasa nila yung letter ni Paul, gumising sila nung narinig nila yung pangalan nila.
Euodias and Syntyche. Maybe when the Philippian church was reading the epistle, they were falling asleep. But when they got to chapter 4 and they heard the name Euodias and Syntyche, they probably woke up. He named us? Yes. And now your names are going to be part of the eternal Word of God for all eternity. So don't say, Pastor, don't name names, you know. No, Pastor needs to name names. John MacArthur. I named John MacArthur last Sunday. Why? Because John MacArthur doesn't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is significant. He believes that the blood of Christ is a metonym, a figure of speech picturing the death of Christ. And the important thing is the death, not the blood. Well, that's not the Bible. Then I showed you from the Bible why it's the blood. And why he's in doctrinal error. And if you like to follow him, don't follow him in that doctrinal error. And I'm warning you, that's why I name his name, you see. Naming names is biblical. There's more. I just don't have the time right now. But the church is not spiritually abusive. Now, there are pastors that are Diotrephes. There are pastors like that. There are Judases in the church. There are Demases in the church. There are Jezebels in the church. There's a church in Revelation that Jezebel is a teacher. Well, how would you like to have a Jezebel for a teacher? Oof. It's not right. And so, there are spiritually abusive situations. I understand that. But not in a biblical New Testament church. And just because one religious organization did something wrong, it doesn't mean the plan of God is thwarted and is no longer valid and it needs to be changed. No, it doesn't. You need to get right with God and find the church that glorifies God. And do you believe? Let me ask you a question. If you're a Christian, does God have a church for you? Yes, he does. There is a church that is his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus has a church. And you need to be a part of that church. You say, well, the church is small. It's a small church. Do you know in the Bible how many people can be in the smallest church in the Bible?
Do you know how many? Two or three? Is that small enough for you? Huh? Two or three. That's biblical. Now, it's a blessing if you can have a 30, 50, 100. Good, that's fine. 1,000, 2,000. Hey, as long as it's a biblical church, wonderful. That's great. See, the size is not the issue. Obedience is the issue. So if a church has 100 people, but they're all disobedient, backslid and reprobate heathens, would that be a good church to join? Huh? If they're rocking it out with contemporary Christian music, dancing, huh? Jiving, dancing, selfie, huh? A worldly church, contemporary church, satanic music blaring, huh? Hundreds of them, disobedient to Jesus Christ. Would that be a good church to join? You see, no. You know why some people don't like a small church? It's because they don't want accountability. They don't want responsibility. They don't want to be examined. And so they'll join a big organization that is not pleasing to God, so they're not spiritually abused anymore. I don't want to spiritually abuse you. Okay? I want to edify you and encourage you and rebuke you and reprove you and exhort you unto the Lord. And let the Lord have His way in your life. Okay, so those are the excuses. Ito yung mga iba't ibang mga wrong ideas about church. Next week, we're going to start learning about what is church. I looked at my notes. I started with Roman numeral number 2 instead of Roman numeral number 1. Next week, we'll begin on Roman numeral number 1. So, what is a church? We're going to look at the definition of a church. And then we'll examine the biblical evidence of a church and then look at the contemporary picture and what people think church is. And then you'll see from the scriptures that the church is much, much different from the idea of people. All right. Do we have any questions? Meron bang tanong? Alam ko medyo mahaba ang lecture natin, teaching natin ngayon, medyo mahaba. But it's okay. Naka-quarantine naman ho tayo, di ba? Wala ka naman pupuntahan ngayon. Lalo na lockdown naman. At saka, it's already curfew anyway. So, any questions at all? If you have any questions, go ahead and pop it up. Or messenger Marcia or something. And we'll do our best to answer a question. Okay? Kung walang tanong, di wala akong dadagdagan sa lesson natin. And I hope this has been a blessing to you, an encouragement to you to learn about the misconceptions, common mistaken ideas about church, okay? And we get a more biblical understanding, a more solid scriptural answer of what a church is next week, okay? Any questions about church at all or the nature of church or... Okay, I don't see anyone lighting up neither. So, okay, all right. Kung merong tanong, pwede nyo na lang i-send message and then we'll address that next week. Okay? All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Let's pray. Let's close in prayer and ask the Lord to bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you that we can get together like this, Lord, and open the Bible and look at the Bible and examine what is a church, Lord. And what are some of the mistaken ideas about church so that we can have the mind of Christ in us, Lord, and we can have your wisdom instead of our opinion. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the word. We thank you for the light of the word of God that shines it in our hearts. Help us to love that word. Help us to apply it in our lives. We love you, Lord, and ask that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.